by what is expected to be a monster storm. It just recently started snowing here in the city. The schools are closed from here to Boston. Mark Hertzgard, executive director of Covering Climate Now, will link to your new article in The Nation. It's the 2024 election season. Where's the climate story? And thanks so much to Michael Mann, professor of Earth and Environmental Science at University of Pennsylvania, just awarded $1 million in a defamation lawsuit. Happy birthday to Brendan Allen. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Latino New Yorkers were 8 times more likely to be arrested for cannabis than white New Yorkers over the past 30 years. Black New Yorkers, 15 times more likely. White, black, or brown, data shows we all use cannabis at the same rate. Now New York has changed course and legalized cannabis for adults 21 and over. We are building an equitable industry that invests in communities. Learn more and visit cannabis.ny.gov.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM on the FM dial, as well as over WUSB.FM over the internet. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. Time for another edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Joined tonight by Kyle.
It is. It is Off the Wall, and we're on the air.
That's true. Almost the name of the show, on the air, but it was a little too presumptuous, so off the wall was a bit more appropriate.
It definitely supports it.
They had to have a special meeting about that. But anyway, doesn't matter. We are here on a most auspicious day. Is that the right word to use? Auspicious?
Snauspicious.
Kids, look that up at home. That's one of your words for the week. This was the first winter storm warning for the area in 2 years. And the predictions were pretty they were pretty dire. They were saying up to a foot of snow. There was a drastic or dramatic change in the forecast since Sunday night, when all they were saying we get was a coating or an inch, and then all the way up to almost a foot. But here's the thing. I'm happy that some people got that. Here on the North Shore, it was kind of like a coating or an inch. But you know what? I'm going to take the high road on this, even though I got personally screwed on the snow. The fact that I see, you know, kids sleigh riding off the side of the expressway or whatever, there aren't many hills left. that's fine. That's fine. Okay. I'm happy that some of us got a snowstorm. Next time, though, I'd like for all of us to get a snowstorm. Yeah, it's slippery. This is what I call roof snow. You know what roof snow is, right?
I'm learning very suddenly, but yeah, it's I don't know. It really, it's not sustained snow, and the quickness of however much the amount was, plus the warming effect, leads to this sort of heaviness.
Heavy, yes. It's heavy snow. It's sticking to the trees for some reason, and then falling off the trees in big clumps. And when it hits a building, boy, it makes a loud sound. So when you hear that for the first time, you think something really big is happening. And it just keeps happening over and over again. And if you're walking around, too, you're going to get hit by one of these clumps. I don't think it hurts very much, but it's dramatic. So, yeah, roof snow, it's a thing. And that's what we have this time. Not a whole lot of it, but it's up there in the trees, and it's coming down. And I guess, you know, tonight it'll get colder. Maybe it'll become icier. Or maybe it won't fall at all. I'm not sure.
What remains? Yeah, there's a lot of moisture mixed in with this sudden accumulation. So the roads are still treacherous. There's a lot of clearing activity, at least people trying to maintain because of anticipated icing if it does get colder. So be on the lookout, be alert.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad we're talking about winter. I'm glad we're talking about snow. That's what we should be doing in February. And the thing that really kind of inspired me was the fact that looking at the weather forecast a few days ago, there was no mention of any possibility of snow. And then all of a sudden it changed and people were panicking. And that's what I like to see. I don't mean it that way. I mean, I like to see a change in the weather where it's possible to get snow. If you panic, that's your choice. Anyway, stay safe. Stay dry. Be aware of the snow clumps falling from the trees. And hopefully this is not the last of winter that we see. Come on. You know you love it.
I just love how it changes the whole appearance. Things that were in very, like, vibrant or different sort of shades and stuff just become subsumed, totally covered and encased in this like blanket of reflective crystals. So it just, things, when it does get light, it didn't really turn to like a clear sky yet with this on the ground. So things didn't sparkle in that way, but you knew it was coming down when it started. And well, we had it under these skies for however long until it is totally gone, and then maybe there will be more. So
yeah, you know, I have fond recollections of you know, large amounts of snow coming down. I'm talking 20 inches, and boy, you talk about the blanket effect. That is something you remember. Just the silence, the quiet from that snow, just being on the ground when it first falls, and that applies to the city as well. There's nothing better than walking down streets in the city when snow has just fallen and there aren't very many cars moving around at all, and that same silence just kind of takes over. So It's a magical time, so let's hope that we see some more of it. Today, though, is also another auspicious occasion. And we warned people about this. It's a special election. Yeah, that was today. The day before Valentine's Day. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. It's also Ash Wednesday. Does that conflict in any way? Are there rules for Ash Wednesday that make Valentine's Day difficult to celebrate? Or
no, I think love is pretty. I mean, sure. I don't know. There was a lot of love. I mean, amidst a lot of other stuff in that story, but yeah, I think it sort of coexists.
Okay. All right. Well, those of you out there practicing both, best of luck with that. But anyway, the important thing is today is the special election to replace the defective George Santos, who had to be replaced, as we just mentioned, because he was a liar and a criminal and incompetent. And I could go on, but the important thing is that we're replacing him with somebody else. Now, there are two people that are running. There is the former congressman, Tom Suozzi, Democratic nominee. He had served in the position before until he gave up the position to run against the governor for some reason in the race for governor when he had absolutely no chance of winning in his own party. And now he wants the job back. Okay, fine. And then you have Nassau County legislator Mazzy Pilip, who is the nominee for both the Republican and conservative parties.
I think I know that name from some of the attack ads.
Well, there's a lot of attack ads going on here.
You noticed some of that too.
Yeah, quite a bit. Suozzi, he's not my favorite person, but he did the job for 6 years. He's held other elected offices on Long Island back in the 1990s, as far back as then, the mayor of Glen Cove. He was the Nassau County executive. And he wasn't a racist pig, unlike some Nassau County executives. It's a known entity. You know what you're getting with him, and would be a very important a chip in the Republican armor as far as the slim majority that they hold in the House of Representatives. Who is this Mazzy Pilip? That's a good question. She's an Ethiopian-born veteran of the Israeli Defense Forces, where she served as a gunsmith in a paratrooper unit. And you know what? All the power to you. That's great. That's wonderful. Nothing against that. But you're running for Congress in the United States. I'm not sure that should be the first thing on the list of your accomplishments. You know, what is it that you bring to the area? And how do you represent? I'm not seeing that. You know, I saw a lot of ads from her, and they're kind of all over the place. She was elected to the Nassau County Legislature, so she's, in that body at least. But here's something weird. She was elected on the Republican and Conservative Party line. However, she's a registered Democrat. Okay, so you don't really know where she's coming from. On the campaign trail, she has declined to say whether she voted for Trump in 2016 and 2020. And, she has every right not to share that. Ballots are a secret after all, but you do have, when you're running for elected office, you do have to be very clear as to your positions. Now, for instance, on the issue of abortion, you might have seen this coming up a number of times, where she keeps insisting that she is pro-life, and then she says that it's her right to choose to be pro-life, and that is the epitome of being pro-choice. And when somebody calls her up on that, she gets very flustered and can't say, yes, I'm pro-choice. That is what you are. If you say that you have the right to choose to be pro-life, that is all the pro-choice people are saying everyone should have the right to be. How can you not just acknowledge that? You know, if you did acknowledge that, you might actually win some votes. But I guess the bosses in the Republican Party won't allow that kind of a phrase to be uttered. That speaks volumes. That really speaks volumes.
And she was a linguistic contortionist in that response.
Olympics. She was in the Olympics.
Right. Unbelievable. Just a pretzel of logic around the whole just being out with it and saying this is, and very plain about the position and what platform she'll actually support. Because, yeah, I mean, your personal versus your political life should synchronize, I would hope. I mean, in your authentic representation as a potential a candidate or an elected official to your supporters. They mm-hmm. they should probably have an honest feeling about your preference, and that will be how you'll represent other people, especially with something so personal.
Now, this is all taking place in the 3rd Congressional District. Now, this has been a real carnival. In 2022, there was a map drawn by Democratic lawmakers, and that was rejected by a New York court. Now, you know, to put this in perspective, all over the country, Republicans are gerrymandering and redrawing maps and getting all kinds of advantages. They try that once in New York with a Democratic majority, a supermajority, in fact. And even with that, it gets rejected because everyone's trying to play fair. And sometimes that's a good idea. Sometimes it's not a good idea. If the other side is not playing fair ever, is it really to your advantage to keep taking that high road? I'm not sure it is. In this case, they lost, and their map was replaced with a much more Republican-friendly map here in New York, and that created the current District 3, and it played a key role in the election of George Santos and other New York Republicans. And those victories helped Republicans reclaim control of the U.S. House. That's the effect it had. That's the effect taking the high road had in New York. But District 3, in its current form, will cease to exist early next year after New York's highest court ordered yet another congressional map to be drawn for this year's elections. And that map was friendlier to Democrats. So you need a roadmap to keep up with all this. But here's the thing. If you qualify, if you vote, if you live in the 3rd District, you have just over 2.5 hours to get down to the polls. And I'll tell you where you have to be in order to do this. It's part of Nassau County, and it's part of Queens. And it seems that the Republican has the advantage in Nassau, the Democrat has the advantage in Queens. So it's going to be interesting, and we'll start getting returns later tonight. In Nassau County, we have Oyster Bay Cove, Old Brookville, Levittown. You know, I still can't find Levittown. I mention this all the time. I've lived here all my life. I should know where Levittown is. I don't know where Levittown is. I know it's in Nassau County somewhere. I don't think I've ever been in Levittown. I don't know if there's a Levittown village. I would, if somebody asked me on the side of the road, how do I get to Levittown? I would just have like a wise guy type of, you know, remark saying something like just, I guess through, you know, accidents or something. But I don't know how to get there. So if you live in Levittown, I'm sorry. Not that you live there, but that I don't know where you are. Okay, continuing. Glen Cove, Roslyn, Manhasset, Plainview, Bethpage, Port Washington, Hicksville, Jericho. You notice my voice went up at Hicks. I like Hicksville. It's something, I like the name. I like the community. All kinds of Indian places there. It's really a fascinating. Check it out. Take the train over to Hicksville. Just walk around. Hicksville, Jericho, Syosset, Mineola. I feel like a train conductor right now. Mineola, next stop. Hillside Facilities, employee only. Yeah, whatever. Farmingdale, Massapequa Park, Great Neck. And that's it for Nassau County. If you are in Queens, okay, these neighborhoods are in the 3rd Congressional District as well. Little Neck, Whitestone, Glen Oaks, Floral Park, and Queens Village. So if you're in any of those places, or you know anybody who's in any of those places, get down to the polls today before 9 o'clock and vote, because your vote will count. It'll count a lot, because this special election, not many people turn out. And, you know, when it snows, even more people don't turn out. So your vote will really matter quite a bit.
I got a ballot recently.
You did, but not for this election.
No, mine's coming up later next month.
I saw the president's name. and I saw that other guy's name on the ballot. So are you, is this the November ballot? You're voting already?
I'm colorblind to that side of the ballot. But yeah, I am. It's for the November primary.
Well, that's not November then, is it?
Right. This is for the general.
The general election is November, Kyle. So I'm not sure what you're saying. You're voting in
to
the
determine, let's
start over. You got a ballot in the mail.
You're putting a lot of pressure on me.
I'm just asking a simple question.
I was just being conversational.
Is it for the November election or something else?
No. It's for the election prior to that.
Ah.
Thanks.
And what is that election called?
I don't know.
You don't know what it's called?
Okay. Again with the pressure. You really need to just
Okay, fine.
Pump the brakes a little.
So this unnamed election that you got a ballot for in the mail, tell me.
It was for the candidate of president. It's an early part of that, or maybe it is the whole thing. I'm going to participate regardless. I'll have more information about next week.
It's the primary, right? Isn't it the primary? Or is it the caucus?
That's what I said, right? Multiple times.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I did not hear
the word primary. That's what I was.
And I was talking about before the general.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that for a fact. It's something I believe because of party registration. You pointed that out.
Well, yeah.
I'm not sure how it goes here.
I'll tell you how it goes here. It goes unfairly here. I don't get to vote. Primary in New York. I get to vote in the election. You have your ballot right here. Okay.
Imagine that.
Is this legal? Can you do this over the radio?
Well, I'm not gonna actually read it out on the air and
did we say this is Washington State? I don't think we said this is Washington State. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, who cares?
Well, it's important. It's important. People know.
All right. So you see how it's blank.
Oh, they sent
and there's
you a
just no one.
Blank piece of paper.
No, that's the back.
Wouldn't that be great if they did that? They just send you a blank piece of paper and you figure it
out? So this is, I think this is the primary election ballot. So each party, you get to participate in one or the other.
But you can choose.
Yeah. Why would they print multiple, like you get one or the other, or why would they have separate dates?
That's how it works. In this state, look, I like the way they do it in your state, but in this state, first of all, you have to be part of a party, which I guess you have to be in your state too, but you only get to vote in your party. But you can cross party lines and you know, vote for Nikki Haley instead of Donald Trump.
Bite your tongue.
Well, I'm just saying you could. That might hurt him, you know?
You're a sick, sick man.
It's a strategic chess game that you're playing here. So, you know, tread carefully.
Is that legal? Can I do that? Do I have to check with the party first?
I don't think you have to check with the party. But I think it says there that you can do that. I'm pretty sure. There's a lot more instructions than there are choices.
There's a... folding.
Are you looking for a prize in there? You're shaking it like something's going to fall out.
Everything's fine.
All right.
It's going to be fine. This is for the primary.
And if I understand correctly, everybody in Washington State votes by mail.
There are no other ways, generally speaking. Uh-huh. There might be a provisional or other ways for people that need certain criteria or assistance.
I find that amazing that that happens, it works, and Republicans don't like it at all. In fact, if it was up to them, none of you would vote because they don't like mail-in voting, and you don't have anything else. So,
I think if you asked anyone or voted generally, like what people think about it, especially after having done it for so very long, most people would say that they don't mind it. A simple process. There's a paper record, and you can vote as a household and in the comfort of your home. You can take your time looking through some of the materials that they give out for candidate profiles, and maybe supplement that with your own sort of reading and news gathering. But all of that is at your own pace, and that could be like immediately, or you can wait, that's just a lot different than having to show up at a venue on a very particular day,
on a snowy day,
in a window of time. Yeah, so I feel for people that are alienated from what I'm talking about, but if you have this in your locale, please participate in whatever way you can, because it is a way to get on record for what you feel. And in this particular case about the leadership of this country, there are a lot of other names on there, though. You're right.
I guess the names. No, I want to hear the names.
Is it really worth putting a vote across party lines? Like,
I don't know.
Are people really doing that?
Well, the fact that you can tells me that, yeah, it must be a thing.
I feel like that is state by, like, you would really have to know the strategy state by state if that even helps at all. So, okay, let's start with the Democratic Party. It's Joe Biden.
And read it in the order it shows up. So Joe Biden is at the top. Okay.
Dean Phillips, Marianne Williamson, uncommitted delegates, and a blank line.
Uncommitted delegates. Okay.
And then Republican Party, Chris Christie.
Wait, whoa. Chris Christie is first? First of all, he dropped out.
Well, he is first.
And he's on the top. Okay.
Above the fold.
Wow.
And that's followed by Ron DeSantis.
Hold on a second. All right. So all these, okay, fine. Trump's going to be livid about this when he finds out, because he doesn't know about this yet.
I don't want to hold up the whole show with this, but Nikki Haley.
All I'm going to do is every time. Three candidates above Trump. He is fit to be tied now.
Vivek.
Vivek is above him too. Boy, somebody doesn't like Trump in Washington.
Ramaswamy and DJT.
Okay. And I assume they don't say it that way.
Followed by blank line.
There's nobody after Trump. Okay. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. When do you have to cast this ballot by?
Mid-March.
Oh, you have plenty of time. Okay. So if you're unsure about anything. I guess we should talk about the elephant in the room. I guess it's the Republican elephant in the room. This has to do with what was released last week. You may have heard about this. A special counsel's report investigating Biden's possession of classified documents. So they found out, or this guy, again, this is an example of Democrats playing fair, taking the high road. This guy being appointed, even though he was a Trump appointee, a Republican. Yeah, let's have you investigate Biden's possession of classified documents. And you'll do a fair job, right? Well, the guy found out that there wasn't a case. That's the story. That really is the story. There was no case against Biden for deliberately withholding classified information. As soon as he discovered he had them, he turned them over and cooperated. The guy wasn't done. Okay, the special counsel went on to say that Biden's memory was hazy, fuzzy, faulty, poor. He had significant limitations, noting that Biden could not recall defining milestones in his own life, such as when his son Beau died, or when he served as vice president. I would like to see what exactly they're referring to there and how they reached those conclusions, because that sounds really, really suspicious. But what is being seen here, I think what a lot of people are rightly observing, is that this is kind of a passive-aggressive way of attacking Biden to make him seem incompetent, and we're all taking the bait. Because what have people been talking about over the past week is Biden's age. But you have to ask yourself, okay, what did Biden do in recent memory, if we can remember, to justify this? And the answer is nothing. He did nothing.
Yeah, it's this lens of incompetence versus viewing what competencies there are. And it's this weird framing that we can't get over. I don't know. They're definitely trying different things, and mm-hmm. we'll see if that convinces people. But there seems to be, I don't know, a lot of people going to bat, like Nancy Pelosi and different proxies that would stand in and speak to his character and how mm-hmm. their relationship is nothing short of, you know, whatever aspirational ideal Democrats might have. So, I mean, there's, I think it's maybe more, I don't know, more or less manufactured. It's a manufactured question.
Mm-hmm.
Starting by the critique, the sort of attacks, and then becoming this sort of internalization within the party or something, where we have to like basically have it out, like just exhaust people with it, so that it is, you know, hard to believe or hard to be vulnerable on as far as an attack or anything.
I mean, look, here's the thing. If the guy is guilty of a crime, charge him with the crime. And if he's not guilty of or not suspected even of a crime, you don't get to attack him and make these, I guess, accusations that you're never going to follow through on. You know, the guy's name, by the way, Robert Hur, H-U-R, he's the special counsel. And in his statement, ruling out prosecution of Biden over his retention of highly classified materials as a private citizen, Hur suggested that Biden would seem too feeble to prosecute. It would be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him, by then a former president well into his 80s, of a serious felony that requires a mental state of willfulness. Wow. Biden did not take that well. And why should he? He said the report's descriptions of his memory and his son's death were, quote, extraneous commentary, unquote, that had no place in this report. And about his son's death, he said, how in the hell dare he raise that? And you could feel his anger. You could feel his anger. Frankly, he went on, when I was asked the question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business. Every Memorial Day, we hold a service remembering him, attended by friends and family and the people who loved him. I don't need anyone to remind me when he passed away. It just seemed so unnecessarily cruel. And again, you know, why are we all taking debate? Why are we all discussing? Look, we've talked about this before. Did we not know that Biden was going to be aging along with the rest of us? Did we think that somehow he was going to stop and remain at a certain age or maybe even get younger? Yeah, you know, 4 years ago, we should have known that 4 years from then, Biden would be 4 years older. And here he is. So now here are the questions I want to ask. What is it that he has done that makes you concerned? And you know, I'm not talking about him being 80. I'm talking about, what has he actually done that causes you concern? Look, I'll look at something that Trump did over the weekend. I'm sure you've heard of this.
By did, you mean policy, right?
Policy, actual words?
Official action.
It doesn't even have to be action. Just, you know, a statement of one sort or another. I'm not talking about, you know, getting a word wrong occasionally. I mean, this is what he's been doing all his life. He gets words wrong sometimes. He stutters. It's not something that is disqualifying in any way. Everyone's making a big deal that he mixed up Mexico and Egypt. Do you really think that he does know the difference between Mexico and Egypt? No, he did what any of us do and said the wrong word in a particular moment of stress. You know, what's his name? The president of Mexico. I mean, Egypt. What, you know, it's funny because in watching so many commentators talking about this, do you know how many people stumbled over the name of the president of either Mexico or Egypt? Or was it prime minister? I don't even know. But, you know, they're like, yeah, so he got this name. What was the name again? Yeah, he got that name wrong. So you don't know either. And you're a reporter. You're supposed to know these things. So don't say only the president has to have a photographic memory. No, you have responsibilities too. And if we're going to micro-focus on every little imperfection, well, let's play the game with everybody then.
It's Manuel Lopez Obrador. Oberdorf.
Okay, we got a wise guy here, so you know the names.
And he mistook it for Oberon.
It's not like he mistook it. He just,
I messed it up just saying.
I think he said the right name. He said the wrong country.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that Biden knows the difference between Mexico and Egypt. Pretty sure of that.
So he was thinking of the wrong name and associated the country, country with the wrong name. You know,
okay. We all can point to our families or friends, but I remember as a kid, occasionally people would visit. We'd have an aunt or an uncle visit, or my grandparents would visit. And it was, it was nice. Mostly it was my grandparents who visited, but sometimes one of my aunts or one of my uncles would visit as well. There was a time where three of my uncles visited along with my grandparents. And that was what broke us, because throughout that entire weekend, every time somebody was called, the wrong name was used, because that was over our capacity. We couldn't handle that many people at the same time. And so, I'm not going to give out the names, but name A was referred to as name B, and it was obvious what was meant, but there's only so much you can juggle at the same time. So that was our limitation in our family at that moment. Saying Mexico instead of Egypt, or Egypt instead of Mexico, I'm not even sure which.
I thought it was Hungary.
Yeah, we don't even know. If your policy reflects that and you're constantly making that mistake, that's an issue. But just occasionally substituting a wrong word, we all do that. We all do that. But okay, so here's the thing with Trump, which I'm pretty sure you might have heard of, where basically he brought up at one of his campaign rallies a conversation that he had with some leader of some country in the past who had asked what would happen if their country was not current on their NATO subscription fee, or whatever it is that you call that thing. Would they still stand up and defend their country? And Trump very clearly said no. And he would encourage Russia to do whatever the hell they wanted to any NATO member country that doesn't meet spending guidelines.
Do you know how stupid a statement that is?
It's not only stupid, it's dangerous. And it is something that is what we should be focusing on, that kind of danger, that kind of moral depravity, where you would actually say, yeah, you're an ally of ours, but you didn't pay us. And here's the other thing. He doesn't even understand how NATO works, because we don't get the money. We're not the accountants there. So that is the headline. And if we're not focusing on that danger to our country, boy, we are naive and we are easily led around.
Not only that, like that provocation, right? The welcoming of some sort of attack on a NATO member mm-hmm. would trigger NATO. So,
of course,
all of a sudden, you are out the money. You've welcomed attack, and now you have full activation of NATO, and you're going to be paying for whatever kind of policing or deterrence you have to step up in response to that.
Well, he seems to think he won't be. He seems to think he'd just be out of NATO.
I guess jackpot for maintaining that level of force, and a big payday for that area of mm-hmm. government, but it does nothing for like the overall conditions of peace in general, and really isn't the kind of leadership goading a member of a treaty organization like that to be attacked is like it's asinine.
I just cannot fathom how anyone can say, yeah, it's perfectly okay for him to say that, as Republican leaders are already doing. That is something that is just unacceptable. What is your role as a leader if you're simply going to say, yeah, come in with your tanks and roll over our friends because they didn't pay up? It sounds like a mobster. That's what they do. And I guess maybe we're not that far off, but come on, compare that to what we're talking about with Biden.
Well, that's it. It's not shock. We know that's who he is. It's
exactly. We know who that is.
Framing this around that, like, that this is even a fair competition. Like, it just,
it's not a competition at all. It's no comparison.
It's no match.
And I implore people who are saying that, yeah, they're both old, they're both a problem. There is a big difference between the two. A really big difference. First of all, okay, Biden understands how NATO is funded, okay? He knows that the United States doesn't get to decide. The United States does not count the money. He gets that. Trump does not get that. That's a big deal. That's a much bigger deal than saying Mexico when you meant to say Egypt or mixing up a couple of words occasionally. This is what somebody actually thinks. This is what somebody is actually going to do. That is a big difference.
Also, the idea that we should all be paying an equal proportion. I mean, we're a huge participant in that organization, a backbone, whatever, mm-hmm. a big player in that organization. So to try to compare it based on whether a country is at the agreed percentage, I mean, that's one thing, but treating it as though like everyone should be paid up and even can, because of course, where does that money come from? It comes from their relative stature as an economy on the global stage. And that has many different factors, economically speaking, that, and they run different, and manage different ways of structuring the financing for their participation. And of course, their borders and their impact along as an ally is a factor. So like to oversimplify it on such a stupid, dangerous level is further insulting.
But, you know, to draw another comparison, let's look at Ukraine. Okay, Ukraine is not a member of NATO, but they are a country that is very much interested in better ties with the West and becoming part of the EU, becoming part of NATO, and a country that the West is very interested in courting as well, and a country that Russia is decimating right now. And with Trump's world, he does not understand why Ukraine is important to the West. Biden clearly does. That's a big difference right there. But you can see from his words, he would never help Ukraine. He would not do that. He would let Ukraine be completely taken over by Russia. And is that something really that is good with you, the American voter? You really think that is the right move?
It's so weak. How is it not weak? Please, anyone ever explain to me how that is not a weak, weak, weak position.
You can use other words.
I can't think of any other
stupid, dangerous,
I'm trying to keep it, you know,
awful,
you know,
asinine.
You know, that's a good one, but mm-hmm. you know, these are super, super squeaky airwaves here, and I want to keep
it. Oh, there are words I want to.
I
want to
keep it like that. No, right. I mean, people have imagination.
Okay, so that's the foreign,
but it's
foreign policy stage there,
and fully unbecoming.
You can see that Biden is running circles around Trump in his understanding, in his chess playing, in making the right decisions. But you know, there's other things too. I dare say, Joe Biden knows the difference between Nancy Pelosi and Nikki Haley. You know, now you can say, oh, yeah, Trump just made a mistake when he kept referring to Nikki Haley and saying she was in charge of security for the Capitol on January 6th, except he did it four times. It wasn't just a slip of the tongue. At that moment, he actually believed Nikki Haley was Nancy Pelosi. That's a big deal. Can you imagine if Biden did something like that? This is orders of magnitude worse than anything Biden ever did. So I just find it really hard to accept this conversation that the whole nation is having about Biden's age when you're not looking at things that are true danger signs, not just what somebody believes and the kind of personality they are, but their lack of a grasp of basic reality, that this person is not that person, never was, never will be. So, you know, Biden might mix up names occasionally, but he knows who the people are. And that's a big part of it. I honestly don't think Donald Trump knows who certain people are, which is why he refers to, you know, the governor of Michigan as that woman or things. He doesn't retain names. And that's an important part of the job. It really is. doesn't know history, doesn't respect history. Biden certainly does know history, and he certainly does respect history. You cannot deny that. Joe Biden, he's able to compromise. He's able to change his mind. We've seen that happen. It's happening right now with the Israeli situation. He's basically adapting to the situation and seeing things that he didn't see right away. And you know what? I'll take it. You know, if he is somebody who actually will modify his position and share that journey with the rest of the country, I think that's better than just having somebody who does not ever change or admit that maybe they approached this in the wrong way or maybe sided with the wrong people. So important part of the job is admitting when you're wrong.
Yeah, that is really uncharacteristic transparency around having sort of given it a chance and so few words, but also pushed and resisted and, you know, not and owned basically lack of progress or a difference in action based on, you know, what he said and what actually has been playing out on the battlefield there.
Right.
But it's a mess.
No, there's no question about that. But the point is, he's able to adapt. He's able to change. That is so important to be able to do that. And to admit you're wrong. You admit that maybe this isn't quite the right way and let's try something different. Trump could never do that, ever.
Yeah, I feel like especially in those rally settings, he's both the crowd as well as him as an orator are in this state, this sort of trance state. Mm-hmm. And the repetition and almost getting in a loop on his own musing was very apparent in that flub over Nikki Haley, or referencing Nancy Pelosi, but naming Nikki Haley. And it's really emblematic of just how much he's been on that campaign sort of rally circuit and is used to just doing his thing, riffing, but just continuing. And it's just this nonstop rambling. Mm-hmm. And it's almost as though he can't stop himself as he's talking. So even if he's noticing it's wrong, he can't stop saying Nikki Haley's name when it's completely like a total dissonance between what story he's telling and the name he's actually using. Well, it was very, very like felt out of control.
The other part of this is that if people are so afraid to ever stand up to him or correct him, then you just have this like Emperor New Clothes situation where somebody is just parading around making a fool of themselves and nobody dares to tell them that, okay, this is completely wrong and against all the facts.
Well, and the fact that people blindly support him either in a tight circle or as an audience, like no one, then it, you go to this level of logic where like, does it even matter? And you could even say, he could just be speaking in tongues, like complete gibberish, and people would still cheer.
No, I think you're right. I think absolutely that'll happen.
Which itself
I think that's
is
what we've seen, in fact. That doesn't matter what he says. People are just going
to
support him.
It's an amazing thing to think about. And like, I'm sure there's like software and stuff you could make him just be just babbling mindlessly and make it fit to hours and hours of actual video. It's as, I don't know, valid. I mean, and important. I mean, it would stand in easily.
We could spend the rest of the night comparing the two. I mean, you know, Biden clearly respects the law. He respects courts, even when they go against him. You know, when the Supreme Court goes against something that he believes in, he respects the ruling. Trump does not. He does not respect courts. He does not respect the law. Does not even respect the military. He basically wants his way or no way at all. And if anybody disagrees with him, they're wrong. And he will not even acknowledge them. You know, that is a huge difference. You look at the two people as to who they are, Biden's not being charged with a crime anywhere. And how many crimes is Donald Trump being charged with in multiple jurisdictions? You can't say this is all part of some kind of plot. There are all kinds of different jurisdictions that are basically following up on charges, and they have very good cases. What else? Biden can laugh at himself. Can you think? You think Trump could laugh at himself? Definitely not. Definitely not. And, you know, Biden has served with, God, it must be hundreds of people in various places, Senate, Congress, everywhere. He knows all these people. Trump knows business people. And that's it. Doesn't care for anything else. Doesn't care for anything on the world stage. Doesn't care for anything locally unless it's to benefit him. Look, they're both old. We know this. We knew this before. But I got to tell you, you know, there's a lot of old people serving in governments. In fact, I did a little internet search here. Not who the oldest state leaders are. The president of Cameroon is 90. Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian National Authority, he's 88. Did you know that? Wow. Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud of Saudi Arabia, 88. Pope Francis, 87. Yeah, he counts as a world leader. 87. Harald V, the king of Norway, he's 86. Ali Khamenei, supreme leader of Iran, he's 84. What is it about in the Middle East? Everybody lives forever. Emir of Kuwait, 83. Okay, here's one. Michael Higgins, president of Ireland, is 82. Sergio Mattarella, president of Italy, 82. Ngalo Mumba, president of Namibia, 82. Biden doesn't even make the top 10. I mean, people are up there. There's no question about that. It's just, it's not a disqualifier, especially if you don't have better options. Do I wish we had better options? Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they better for damn sure get working on it for 2028. And maybe they should have back in 2020, but they didn't.
Fully.
They didn't, and we're here now, and we have to deal with that.
That is the lesson. Like, the bridge candidate thing, like, there was no other side to that bridge, okay? That's why we ended up here. It was half a bridge. It only ever was, and that was on the party. That was a failure, I don't know. Something about preparedness.
But not just the party. It's on us as well, because we have to insist on these things, and we have to be asking these questions. We can't just suddenly say, oh, look, it's 2024. This guy's old.
Well, you know? It could have been other parties, too. I mean, I'm not even going to say it's on the incumbent. There were not the abundance of options.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're living this, it's going to play out the in due time. And we're really going to see the contrast between these, what these people represent and how they lead.
We just, you know, held up Trump to Biden as far as comparisons in competency, in decisions made, in words spoken. And, you know, if people are not more concerned about Donald Trump's mental ability than they are Biden's, they're missing something. They are absolutely not paying attention, because all you have to do is look at the facts, look at what has been said, look at the policies, look at how people express themselves. And there's no way you can see Biden somehow less competent than Trump. There's just no way you can see that.
People are living longer. And I think that's another part of this.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
The media has nothing to compare and really base what we might be seeing in this country as far as leadership, especially in light of the list that you read worldwide. By comparison, this is really kind of not as unusual as we are experiencing here. And I was saying the same thing another week, basically, about the vice presidency and how that's been reimagined and something, and is something anew now. And this age thing. I mean, if it is so that leaders are staying on in the way they are, like, can we as a society adapt? Can we handle that? Because there are cases where it hasn't ended well, and there are other cases where it can work. But we as a society have to kind of have an idea or an ideal in our head, and help people navigate this with grace and dignity, and not really be so aghast and focus only on that, because there's so many other attributes to this race.
Right, right. And you know, if you look at some of the promises and threats that are lying in the future. For instance, Trump wants a leadership change at the Republican National Committee. Of course, he's going to get it. What does he want? He wants his daughter-in-law to be running things along with him. So Trump. Are there any alarm bells ringing in people seeing this, that this guy is taking over an entire political party in this country and putting his family in charge of it? That is, that's a red flag. That's a lot of red flags. Really, we all should be concerned with things like that. People being purged, people being erased from history, and having their political careers shattered because they didn't fall into lockstep with everything that he said. We have this situation. This is an interesting story that came out today in the New York Times. On Capitol Hill, Republicans use bigoted attacks against political foes. Yeah. It starts talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene and how she stood on the House floor this month to announce her proposal to censure the only Somali-born member of Congress. She said she was seeking punishment for Representative Ilhan Omar of Somalia, I mean Minnesota. Earlier that same week, Representative Troy Nels of Texas called the black husband of another Democratic woman of color, Representative Cori Bush of Missouri, a thug. He then said Ms. Bush, who was also black, had received so many death threats because she was so loud all the time. At a hearing across the Capitol, Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, grilled the chief executive of TikTok, Sho Chu, about his nation of origin. Mr. Cotton repeatedly demanded to know whether Mr. Chu, who is from Singapore and of Chinese descent, was Chinese, held a Chinese passport, or was a member of the Chinese Communist Party. No, Senator, again, I'm Singaporean, Mr. Chu responded with agitation after saying several times that he was not Chinese. Around the same time, House Republicans released their report on impeachment charges against Alejandro N. Mayorkas, the Cuban-born Homeland Security Secretary, who is the first Latino to lead his department. Using unusually loaded language for a committee report, the panel described this action as deporting Secretary Mayorkas from his position. And the examples go on and on and on. The green light is being given by the people that are being put in power. It is really of concern. Age is a concern, but this is something that is a true danger to the country. And we had damn well better pay attention to that.
Oh, yes. Tell me more about what we are not talking about.
Unfortunately, we won't be able to tell you more, because we are just about out of time. But boy, this is interesting. This is something that we will be following. Of course, the special election continues up until 9 o'clock. So if you're in District 3, make sure you get out there and vote before 9 o'clock and pay attention to what's going on, because it is vital. It is relevant. It's something that will affect the future for a long, long time to come. Don't be discouraged. There's a lot of danger out there. There's a lot of threats of bad things happening. But if we pay attention and continue to do the right thing, we'll make it through. It's all a big test. All right. OTW@2600.com is our email address. Something about Side 2 of Quadrophenia. I don't know what it is, but it still works after 50 years. We'll be back next week. Please keep listening to WUSB, because you never know what's around the corner. But it's definitely going to be interesting.
So long.
See you next time. Good night. When a man
holds a gun that fires cost, and people die from being old or left alone because they're cold. And bombs are dropped on fighting cats, and children's dreams are run with rats. If you complain, you disappear, just like the lesbians and queers. No one can love without the grace. Some have seen a distant face. And you get beaten up by blacks who, though they work, still got the sack. And when your soul tells you to hide, your very right to die is denied. And in the battle on the streets, you fight computers and receipts. And when a man's trying to change, it only causes further pain. You realize that all along, something in us going wrong.
You are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Captain Phil filling in on the snow day. What an honor to follow one of my favorite shows. Kind of amazing. Be on after off the wall. It really is. Just tuned in for the last 15 minutes. I'll go on the Google machine. I'm here until 9 o'clock, as far as I know, because there are issues getting into the station for the DJs. We should move the station up here. It's not... I'm 160 miles north, and... not a single snowflake on my front lawn. A lot of deer, coyotes, but no snowflakes. One of the things I thought about when Off the Wall was talking about everything that's going on, I just remember the Democratic primary back when Biden was running for the nomination, and how disappointed the young people on Long Island were when they couldn't vote for Bernie Sanders because you had to be registered with a particular party to be able to vote in that party's primary. And a lot of, I want to say the word kids, but I guess that's disrespectful. a lot of young people went to the polls and couldn't vote and were extraordinarily disappointed. Because that information wasn't properly transmitted to them. So that might be some of the Biden hate as well that's coming down the pike. But I think you got to look to 2028. If you're in your 20s and 30s, that's going to be your time. We'll see what happens. Who knows? But you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. This is Gail Elliott and the Electromags. And I'll be here at 9 o'clock, or maybe be longer, depending on what's going on. So stay tuned. I'll do a little weather coming up.